So my son Micah, I did ask his permission to tell this story, by the way. But my son Micah, he collects Pokemon cards. He's big into the Pokemon, and he's been talking about getting a Pokemon card booster box for a long time. Now, the reason he's been talking about it for a long time is it costs $270 for a Pokemon booster box, and that gasp, I felt it in my soul when he told me, right, that's me. And Micah's a saver, but understand that he makes a grand total of $7 a week for mowing our grass and the chores that he does at the house, because there's some things that you do help me out, Dad. There's some things you do because you live here. And then there's some things that you'd get paid for, right? And so at $7 a week, it would take him 9.5 months to save up $270 if he never spent a single penny. And as you're aware, he has the meanest dad in the universe. So if he wants to spend $270 on Pokemon, best of luck, bud. Love you. Hope it works out for you. So what he did was he started mowing our friend's lawn for $10 a week, and now he's making $17 a week, and we have a rule in our house for everybody, the adults and the kids. We teach our kids to do three things with money. You tithe money, so you give 10% of it to the church. You save money, and then whatever's left, you can spend it however you want. So you tithe, you save, and you spend. We're trying to teach our kids to be responsible with money. So after tithing and saving, he could have about $12 a week. Now that brings the timeline, for those of you who are keeping score, that brings the timeline to 5.5 months with spending zero pennies. Okay, now thankfully for Micah, his birthday came along. And Gaga and Pop-Pop and Nana and the crew came in strong for my boy. And so, and so he had this dream of a specific card. He wanted the Greninja EX Special Illustration Rare. Please don't ask me what any of those words mean, because I do not know, okay? So what I do know is there's a very low chance of getting one of those cards, because there's one of those in every 946 packs of Pokemon cards. And that card alone is worth $300 to $500, if you can find somebody not named Elliot to buy it from you, okay? It's worth about $300 to $500, depending on where and when you sell it. So the day finally comes. He reaches his savings goal. He makes the purchase, and the anticipation begins, and the shipment is delayed. And I felt so bad for him. But finally, the day arrives, and there are 36 packs of cards in this booster box. And he wanted to film himself opening them for his YouTube channel, because he started a YouTube channel a couple years ago, Mango Mania. I got you, brother. Okay, so that meant that what it meant was Abby and I weren't even going to get to see him open the cards, because he wanted to go in his room, set up the tripod and all the stuff, you know. And so we're sitting in the living room, and it feels like it's been a real long time. I don't know what he's doing in there. And so Abby and I are having a conversation about how we're going to console him when he inevitably does not get the card that he's worked all this time and spent all this money on. And then this happened.
Oh my goodness. Oh, we got the Greninja. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. That's the Greninja. And this one I think is real.
He said, I think it's real. Yeah. Hey, man, his dream was just a dream until he was willing to be persistent in pursuing it. You see that? Like, you can sit around and think about and plan and do all the things that you want and make all the plans, but until you're willing to persistently pursue something, it will always simply be a dream. And he could have given up and moved on to something else. I don't know if you've noticed, but mowing lawns in Florida is hot. It's not great. It's not fun. It's hard work. And he's 13 years old. He would much rather be inside playing video games than outside mowing the grass. Okay, but his persistence paid off. And the thing that Micah discovered is something that we would all do well to learn. The things that matter the most require persistent pursuit. Have you noticed? The things that matter the most require persistent pursuit. And this principle does not just apply to Pokemon cards, by the way. It applies to the deepest longings of our hearts. Because we all have things in our lives that we hope become reality, don't we? Every one of us have things that we hope become realities. We have broken relationships that we wish were restored. We want to kick that habit finally for good. We want to find peace in the middle of the anxiety that threatens to crush us every day. We want to discover our purpose in life. We want physical healing and financial stability and a safe and secure home life. And man, we could go on and on. But we've been talking about prayer for the last couple of weeks. And as believers, we know that we should be praying about all of this stuff. And we do. And we do, but we get frustrated. We get frustrated when things either don't happen at all or when they don't happen as quickly as we had hoped. And so what do we do then? Because the difference between what we're talking about right now and Micah's Pokemon cards is there's not a timeline that we can point to say, well, this is when God's going to answer that prayer. This is when that relationship is going to be restored. I don't know. We can't calculate exactly when our prayer is going to be answered because a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with us. It's outside of our control. And we wonder, especially when it starts stretching out over a period of months and maybe years, we start to wonder if God's listening at all, if our prayers matter, or if we're just wasting our time. And Mark Batterson, he said that just as our greatest successes often come on the heels of our greatest failures, our greatest answers often come on the heels of our longest and most boring prayers. That's why we need to learn to pray persistently. Persistence in prayer. And throughout this series, we've been memorizing the Lord's Prayer, not as magic words to repeat, but as a model to teach us how we are supposed to pray. And we've been learning to pray with this framework, and as we've done, we've discovered what Micah learned with this Pokemon card thing. The things that matter the most require persistent pursuit. And the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to keep coming back to God again and again and again, and how to structure our ongoing conversations with Him. So I want to check, this is your final exam. Okay, I'm going to check on you one more time to see how your memorization of the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, for you cheaters out there. Okay, Matthew 6, 9 to 13, we're going to throw it up on the screen and we'll see how we do. So let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was pretty good, especially because that's a little bit hard to read. Full disclosure, I didn't know that was going to be the background. Okay? So, well done. Well done. Now, this prayer that we're memorizing, they're not just words to recite. It's not just like a magic potion of words that we throw into the pot and now God's going to answer our prayers. No, this is a model for persistent prayer that Jesus taught unlocks unlimited potential. Now, how do I know? I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to listen to what Jesus had to say in the Sermon on the Mount, the same sermon where he taught us how to pray. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 7. And if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab and look for Swiss Cove in there, and you'll be able to see all the scripture that we're going to use today. Okay, but we're going to start in Matthew 7, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. He said this: ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this is where the sermon could go totally off the rails. Because, listen, this is not Jesus promising to give you whatever you want as long as you ask for it. And as long as you ask for it persistently. That's not what he's saying. Just like I don't give my kids everything that they want. Jesus has just finished talking about how we're not supposed to be anxious for the things that we need. but we are anxious about them all the time. Jesus has just promised us that God will supply our needs. So he said, don't be anxious about the necessities of life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, those necessities, will be added to you as well. So he said, ask for what you need, seek the kingdom, and knock. Be persistent in your prayers, because God knows what you need, yeah? He knows what you need, and he's going to take care of you. That doesn't mean that he's going to give you everything that you want, because some of the stuff you want is going to hurt you. That's the truth. Some of the stuff you want is not good for you. My kids want to only drink Mountain Dew, and I don't blame them. It's delicious. But why do I not let them do that? Because I don't love them? No, I don't let them do that because I do love them. Later in Scripture, Jesus speaks to the apostles about what's going to happen after he leaves. And he says that those who believe in him are going to carry on his mission once he's gone with the help of the Holy Spirit. Then in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, that's a pretty broad invitation, don't you think? And I think that we should also point out that Jesus is talking to the apostles right here. Okay, so let's put that out there. But what do you think it means to pray in Jesus' name? Because the phrase "in Jesus' name" is not just the required closing for prayer. Okay, that's not what he's talking about here. It means that we're praying in the authority of Jesus and in accordance with his character and his will. Does that make sense? It's not just a phrase that you put at the end so that he'll give you what you want. Okay? And 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 adds to this, and we read these words. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Now, that is to you and me. That's to the church. But praying in Jesus' name is praying in accordance with his will. It's not the required closing at the end of your prayer that you memorized when you were a kid. Like, "In Jesus' name, amen." Okay, say that. That's fine. But it's more to it than that, what Jesus is talking about here. Okay, Jesus did not write you a blank check to pray selfish prayers and say, as long as you say "in Jesus' name" at the end, you got it. That's not what's going on here. This is an invitation to pray for significant things that will further the kingdom in accordance with the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that every prayer that we pray gets answered the way that we thought they would be answered, or in our timeline either. Have you noticed that? Because, man, even when we pray in accordance with God's will, sometimes we experience silence. And the reality is, God does not say yes to every one of our prayers. And there's various reasons for that. Some of our prayers are, frankly, selfish and not in alignment with the character and will of God, and we can kind of understand why he doesn't answer those, can't we? But now, like, we kind of understand that, but like, what about the other ones? What about the prayers that seem like they've gone unanswered indefinitely, and they seem like they line up with the will of God? What about those? Because every one of us has a story about a prayer like that we've prayed. Prayer for healing that hasn't happened yet, or didn't happen. Prayers for reconciliation of relationships that are still broken. Prayer for financial needs that we have, wayward children, all kinds of things. One of my mentors says this to me often, and I said this to you a couple weeks ago, but I just want to reiterate it, because I'm a little bit whiny sometimes, and he looks at me and he goes, "Hey man, sometimes we think God isn't fixing things. He is. He is fixing things. But he's fixing them the way they need to be fixed, not just the way you think they should be fixed." Listen, there's no set formula for how many of our prayers go unanswered or why. Like, I don't know that I can answer your specific prayer. However, the scripture does provide several reasons why prayers that appear to be in line with the will of God either are not answered immediately, or we don't know what's going on, and why we should persevere in prayer. So I want to run through just a couple of those reasons with you today. One of the reasons is demonic opposition, okay? Demonic opposition. I want to say this, and I know it's not popular to say, but Satan is real, and demons are real, and we are in the middle of a spiritual war every day of our lives, okay? In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed for 3 weeks before receiving an answer to his prayer. And what happened was an angel appeared to him and explained that your prayers were heard immediately, but demonic forces delayed the response for 21 days. Okay, we live in a spiritual war. Just look around. We live in a spiritual war, so we must persist in our prayer despite demonic opposition. Another reason is resistance of our flesh. Resistance of the flesh, that's another reason. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means that God, generally speaking, doesn't override people's free will in order to answer prayer. Generally speaking, God rarely forces a person to do something that they don't want to do. Okay, I'm not saying that he can't, he's God, he can do whatever he wants to do. But generally speaking, God's nature is to influence us by inviting us, by drawing us closer to him, by wooing us to his will. But as humans, we can resist that. We can, and we do all the time. In the book of Acts, Stephen declared this, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." We do the same thing, don't we? We say, "God, I know that you want me to do this, but I really don't want to. So I'm just going to keep doing what I want to do." We do that every day. We are to persevere in prayer for God's influence in other people's lives, because God works gradually rather than by forced control almost always. Again, he can do whatever he wants. But we can just look at our own lives and see that. We know there are people praying for us, and we still keep making bad decisions. Same is true for us as we pray for other people. Sometimes our prayers are in Jesus' name and in accordance with his will, and yet God's timing in answering those prayers hasn't come about yet. Sometimes the answer is, yeah, but not yet. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, the souls of the martyrs are crying out to God for justice, saying, "Hey, what about us?" And God told them, "Yes, but not yet. You need to wait just a little longer until my purposes are fulfilled." So listen, I know there are people in this room and within the sound of my voice, you find yourself waiting on an answer to prayer. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't walk out. God hears you. Bold prayers honor God. Bold, persistent prayers change the world. God has great things in store for you. He has great things in store for us. So this week, I just want to encourage you, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Continue to persevere in prayer for requests that have yet to be answered by God. And I want you to know, there are people that pray for you. They're praying right now, and they pray for you every day. We have a whole team of people that's what they do. And they're praying that God will move in your heart and use you to make disciples of the nation. Praying persistently is powerful because it unlocks unlimited potential. Again, Mark Batterson said, prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. And not for nothing, but I think you're great and I think I'm pretty good too, but I'll take his best any day of the week. Any day of the week. So, how do we do this? Here's how you pray persistently. Keep a simple prayer list. Pray over it regularly. Go to your secret place, which we talked about last week. Bring your list with you and use the Lord's Prayer as a model to pray, which we talked about in the first week. If you're new at this, if you've never done this before, start small, aim for 3 times a week and do this, okay? And then over time, increase that to every day. And listen, if you don't know what to pray for, I'm going to put a QR up on the screen right now. This is the prayer list for Swiss Cove. So I want to encourage you, if you're not already, pray for each other. And pray for each other every day. It's going to, if you scan this QR, it's going to take you to the needs of the people who are sitting next to you right now. So I want to encourage you to pray for one another daily. And pray with one another as well. Pray for each other and pray with one another. This is one of the best functions of a group, and it's one of the many reasons why I talk to you all the time about the fact that you need to join one. Because you need people who don't just pray for you, but they pray with you. And when you do this, you're going to be surprised at the way God begins to move in your life. And when he does, when he starts moving in your life, I want to encourage you, write it down. Write it down, because you will forget. Okay? What I want you to do is at the beginning of your prayer, I want you to thank God for the way that he's been moving in your life. And you're not going to forget it because you will have written it down. See, thank him specifically for the things that he's doing. And I'm warning you right now, this is going to change you. It's going to change who you are. It's going to change your life. But church, this is what we're going to do. This is who we're called to be. We want to become more and more and more like Jesus. So what we're going to do is set aside time to pray in our secret place. We're going to do that persistently, and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. We're going to use the Lord's Prayer as our model. And listen, church, in the coming weeks, we're going to share a vision with you, the elders and I, that we believe is going to shape not just the future of Swiss Cove, but the future of thousands of people for generations to come. And I cannot wait to share that with you. What I and what we need from you right now is to start praying over it today. Start praying over it today. Pray that he'll prepare our hearts for what is coming next. Pray that the will of God will be done in our lives, in our city, in this church, in our country, and around the world, and pray that he will use us to glorify his name and make disciples of the nations. Pray that he will take what is impossible and make that possible, because he can do that. We don't want that so that we can receive glory, by the way. We want you to pray this because we want to see the name of Jesus made famous to the ends of the earth. Let me pray for you now. God, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've done in this place this morning. God, please continue to work in our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit and help us to honor you in the way that we live our lives and in the way that we come back to prayer time and time again. God, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. He's the reason that we're here. And it is in his name that we pray these things. Amen.